In the difficult times when it seems like God isn't listening, don't give up. Have you ever poured out your heart to God, struggling in the depths of despair? Maybe it's you're praying for a sick child, or you want to save your marriage, and there is nothing but silence. It not only seems that God isn't answering your prayer, it feels like He just doesn't care. Have you ever felt that way? There's a few of you shaking your head, yes. Truth is, all Christians, or most Christians, feel that way. But we're really ashamed to say it. For you to have a deeper relationship with God, you have to learn to deal with the times when it feels like God just isn't answering your prayers, and you're having a crisis of faith. Jesus gave a parable about prayer, and when you first read it, it seems rather strange. In this parable, He talks about a judge who does not fear God nor regard man. Now, this judge doesn't care about God or His laws or His ways. He doesn't care about human beings. He doesn't care about the people that are brought before Him. He sure doesn't care about the civil law. He doesn't care about justice. He's in it for Himself. And in this parable, a widow comes to this man, and she has a just case. She has a fair case. Someone is breaking the law and taking advantage of her. He's abusing her. And the judge ignores her. So here's what she does. She goes back again. And again. And again. And again. Now maybe we don't know why he wasn't answering. Maybe she didn't have the money for a bribe. Maybe he just didn't care about widows and poor people. But finally the judge says, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now imagine for a minute, you're part of the crowd that's hearing Jesus give this story. And you have to be thinking, what's his point? What is his point? Now, let's read what Jesus said. Because he gives his parable, and this then is what he tells the crowd. Hear what the unjust judge said. Now, wait a minute. The point is, I want you to hear what the unjust judge said. You're going to be thinking, wow, what's he doing here? What's he saying? And then he says this, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" He bears long with them. Now, to really understand this parable, we have to go to a comment that's made in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, before the parable. Now, Luke is a very interesting person. He wasn't there. He wasn't there when Jesus gave the parable. Luke, years later, gathers all the stories about Jesus, and he gathers all the parables and all the teachings, and he writes them down. And every once in a while, he writes a little commentary about something Jesus said. And so what you find is, at the beginning of this parable, here's what Luke writes. He, speaking of Jesus, "He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Always ought to pray and not lose heart. You see, this parable is about those times when we need to remember those difficult times when it seems like God isn't answering. In this parable, Jesus isn't saying that God is like the unjust judge. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is teaching that corrupt judges can sometimes do good, especially when people are persistent. Since that is true, how much more will our loving Father respond to those who cry out to Him day and night? And really, this brings us to the point of the parable, first point of what we want to talk about today. You must persevere in prayer. According to this parable, God expects us to cry out. It's a very active, emotional action, to cry out to Him day and night. There's a lot of lessons, actually, we can get from this parable that we can derive from what Jesus said. First, God is not interested in prayers from pamphlets or things that we just repeat over and over and over again, meaningless words. God, what He wants from us, is crying out. He wants heartfelt, sincere prayer because we are trusting Him. We are turning to Him. We are seeking something from Him. Here's how Jesus then finished that parable. He says, and I want to repeat this one line He says, "And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" Jesus' concern is that in difficult times, when times are rough, when those times come when it seems like God isn't answering or God doesn't care, we will give up on God. That's the point. That's His concern. Why is it so easy for us to give up on God? We do it all the time. We don't like to admit it again, but we do it. Part of it is our human weaknesses. But another part of it is that we do not know how to relate to God. Now that seems like a strange thing. I mean, how do I relate to God? I want you to think about this for a minute. God is interested in you relating to Him as God. And we talk about relationships, and we always talk about our relationship with God. And, you know, in a relationship, we have individuals who relate to each other. They share interest, they trust each other, they understand each other. And in our interaction with God, we are obsessed with God relating to us, and that's natural. I mean, I don't, maybe I'm the only one who does that. I'm obsessed with God relating to me. I need God to relate to me. I want God to relate to me. But how much time do you spend and energy and effort trying to relate to God as He really is? How you answer that question has a lot to do with how we respond to God when it seems like He isn't answering our prayers. Now, I really want to expand on this idea of relating to God, but first, let me draw your attention to our study guide. Now, all of you received one when you came in, and it's called Tools for Spiritual Growth. Now, for those who are watching, you can get your free copy of this study guide by calling the number on the bottom of your screen or going to beyondtoday.tv where you can download it or you can order it. Go to page 8, because as we talk about unanswered prayer or what feels like unanswered prayer, we can't cover all that in this short period of time. On page 8, you're going to see a little box in here. This is an important Bible study. And if you look, the heading says, God has conditions for answered prayer. In other words, when there are times when we feel like, and it seems like God isn't answering, there may be reasons. There are reasons. And this study helps you go through those reasons. Now, we're not going to be able to cover all this. So be sure to take your study guide home. If you want one, get a copy, and you can continue the study on what we're talking about today. Now, our first point in coping with times when God doesn't seem to answer prayer is from Jesus' parable of the persistent widow, that you must persevere in prayer. But how do we persevere if we don't understand God? How can we, in our weaknesses, understand the Almighty God? How can we relate to this transcendent being? Well, we're going to come back to the parable about the persistent widow. But first, I'm going to look at another teaching from Jesus Christ about prayer. Now, this one is in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon of Jesus that's recorded in Matthew. In fact, Jesus gives a number of teachings about prayer, important teachings about prayer. I'm going to zero in on just a couple verses here that have to do with how we relate to God. Now, when you read through this, you may not think, wait a minute, this has to do with relationship? Yes. So, okay, I have to relate to this transcendent God and be persistent. Oh, what's that mean? He lives forever. I'm in this little space and time, and I'm supposed to relate to that? Okay, here's what Jesus said. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Ask, seek, and knock are all aspects of how we relate to God. This is our approach to God. Ask. You know, God expects us to ask Him. Remember, in the parable of the persistent widow, it's about crying out day and night. We can't approach God and say, well, He knows everything, so why should I even ask Him? That's not relating. Ask. If you take notes, I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Ask. How does asking have to do with relating to God? Okay, listen. We ask Him because we are acknowledging our smallness and relating to His greatness. When you're asking, this isn't about equals, right? Let me repeat it. We ask Him because we are acknowledging our smallness and relating to His greatness. Jesus said, ask. Go to the great God. You have to understand His greatness and your smallness before you go before Him. Then He said, seek. Now, seek is a very powerful word. It's a verb. It doesn't mean to sort of casually look around. To seek something, it takes effort. It takes work. It takes desire. So write this down. We seek Him because we admit that we do not know. We seek Him because we admit that we do not understand. We seek Him because we need Him. See, we ask because we're relating to His greatness and our smallness. We seek Him because we admit we do not know. We seek Him because we admit we do not understand. We seek Him because we need Him. We're told to knock. Now, knocking on the door doesn't mean you and I go up and we just pound till we get God's attention and then God says, okay, you're bothering me, I'll give you an answer. Okay, that's not the point. It means that we are persistent and keep knocking. This ties back into the parable of the widow. We keep knocking. Why do you keep knocking? Why? Is it because God just likes you to knock? Why would you keep knocking? Now, this is real important. Here's why you keep knocking. Write this one down. We knock because there's no other place to go. Where are you going to go? You're before the door that leads to God. I'm going to go find another answer to my problem. I'm going to go seek something else or someone else. You keep knocking because there's no other place to go. Now you're relating to God. You've moved beyond give me, give me, give me to I wish to know you. I wish to know you. You know, just asking, seeking, and knocking, that's our feeble little way of trying to relate to God. And Jesus says, do this. Ask, seek. Very active. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, let's go back and finish what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount on this subject. He says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? The point is, we as parents give good things to our children. How much more will God give us good things? He doesn't say God will give us everything we want. He does not say that. He will give us good things. If your five-year-old son or five-year-old grandchild came up and said, you know what I really want is a Bowie knife. What parent or grandparent is going to say, oh yes, let me go buy you a Bowie knife. Here, go out and play with the kids in the backyard. No parent's going to do that. It's not good for the child, right? When you ask God for a Bowie knife and you're 5 years old, he's not going to give it to you. We have to remember that. He says he's going to give us good things. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you everything you want. And this means that at the core of asking and seeking and knocking must be a trust that God will do what is best for us, even when we don't understand, even when his answer is not what we want, even when it seems he isn't answering. That brings us to our second point. Our second point, you must seek God's will and have faith in his answers. You must seek God's will and have faith in his answers. Now, I say seek God's will. That's very important. I didn't say seek God's help. Of course we're seeking God's help. You know, we're crying out day and night. It's one thing to seek God's help. It's another thing to seek God. I seek God to give me a new car. Okay. That's not seeking God. That's seeking a new car. That's a hard one, isn't it? I'm seeking God's healing. Okay, you're not seeking God. You're seeking God's healing. It's not wrong to do those things. But it's not the same thing. In other words, it's not relating to God. Only when we seek God himself and he reveals to us something about himself that we can trust his answers. As long as we're seeking the things, if we don't get them, we don't trust him. As long as we're seeking the answer we want, when we don't get it, we don't trust God. We have to seek God. The older I get, the more I appreciate the Psalms. Here David just pours out himself all the time in these poems and these songs before God. And it's like, I have nothing to hide. You know everything. So he just pours it out. And he prays to God. And he struggles with God all the time. He's not ashamed anymore to struggle with God. He just does it. And there's a fascinating couple of verses in Psalm 27. And I want you to really, really think about what David says here. He says, "Hear, O my Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." He's crying out day and night. David's in one of those situations that we're talking about. He's in one of those situations where he's crying out to God. He's not getting an answer. He doesn't understand. Why aren't you answering me? Please hear me. I'm just crying out to you. And God gives him an answer. Oh, good. God must give him exactly what he's asking for. And here's what God's answer was. Seek my face. Seek my face? Hey, I'm seeking help because there's an army invading my country. I'm a king here. What do you mean, seek my face? And David's response is, "My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." Before David received an answer from God, he had to seek God. Seek my face. That's one of the most personal statements made in the entire Bible, isn't it? Seek my face. Look at me. You ever have little children do that? My grandchildren do that. If I'm not giving them attention, pretty soon I get little hands in my face. And they turn me towards them and make me look them right in the eyes. Right? Grandpa, seek my face. God said to David, seek my face. So, but you're not answering my prayers. No, seek my face. Seek me, and you'll get an answer. He wants us to know his ways. He wants us to know who he is in the little way that we can. He wants us to know his purposes. God isn't interested in us having just a lot of theological abstract ideas about who he is. He wants you to know him personally and intimately. God wants you to know him personally and intimately. And what we want is an answer. Now, there's a little cross purposes here, isn't there? I want an answer from God all the time. Now seek my face. I could do that later. Would you do this for me right now? Okay, seek my face. It's one of those personal statements in the Bible. It's made by God for us. Our response? Ask, seek, and knock. Now, there's still an aspect of the parable of the persistent widow we haven't answered. Why does God make us wait? Now, I want to remind you about a study aid that we're giving out, Tools for Spiritual Growth. If you're watching, call the number on the bottom of your screen and get a copy. It's free, so you can follow along, or go to beyondtoday.tv. And this will help you take you further than what we're going to be able to cover today. Well, we've seen that in the parable of the persistent widow, Jesus is teaching us to continually pray and not give up when it seems like God isn't answering. We've also seen that Jesus said we must ask, seek, and knock in our approach to God. And we're still left with the question, why does God sometimes make us wait? Let's go back to that parable of the persistent widow. And I want to reread something we've already read that Jesus said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The transcendent God is outside of our little view of time and space. And so there is a lapse. There is a difference between his response time and our response time. You know, when you tell a child, wait a minute, they think they're going to die. How long is a minute? 60 seconds. 60 seconds, I'm going to die. That's exactly the way we are with God. Let me show you a picture. This is by the famous painter Seurat. You've probably all seen this before. I remember the first time I saw this picture in the Art Institute of Chicago. My oldest daughter was a teenager at the time, and we went in to see it. And of course, it covers almost an entire wall. And we both walked in. We had seen it, pictures in books, and we both went, whoa! And the guard came over and said, if you're both not quiet, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. So we almost got kicked out of the museum. Now, you know, this is famous, of course, for this unique style that he has, unique style painting. But I want you to look at the story. What a remarkable story. People talk about this story. You know, you can make up stories. There's people walking. There's a guy playing a trumpet. There's some soldiers in there. There's a woman over here fishing. There's people rowing a boat. What a remarkable story, right? But you know, with his painting style, as you walk toward this in the museum, it changes. The smaller the picture, the more distorted it becomes because he painted with dots. So it's like, well, that's not the picture at all. That's my little view. In fact, you get close enough, and that's what you see. This, when we're in despair, that's our view. God's view is the painting because he's the painter. God's the painter. God's the painter. We see the little part that we're involved in, and then we say, why aren't you acting the way I want you to act? And this brings us to really our third point here. You must accept that God sees a bigger picture. He's the painter. We're not. We're part of the painting. And as part of the painting, we keep saying, telling the painter, I don't like this. And they, oh no, this is good. Wait till you see the whole thing. But we can't see the whole thing. So we question and we question. You know, when we really get this, we understand he has a greater purpose because he's a painter. He's doing this grand work. Then sometimes the answers to our prayers is wait. And sometimes the answer to our prayer is no. That's what's hard for us. What do you mean no? Well, I'm working on the painting here, okay? If you can see what I'm doing, but we can't see that. We see the dots. That's our lot. I really learned this lesson for the first time early in my ministry. I had a friend of mine who was dying from stomach cancer. And I knew God was going to heal him. I knew it. And I would go visit him and I would drive to see him and we would talk and I would encourage him because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm a minister. I go and I encourage him and I help him because he's dying. He thinks he's going to die, but God's going to help him. One day I drove in and I was really thinking about it. And I drove and I got to his house. And I sat down with him and we talked a little bit, small talk. And finally I said, the answer might be no. I'd never thought of that before. To my surprise, he smiled and he said, I've been waiting for you to figure that out. I've known the answer from God was no for quite a while, and you're the one who would not accept it. He says, I've accepted it. You wouldn't accept it. All I could see was the little dots. I couldn't see the bigger picture. I didn't understand what God was doing. Study to know what prayer really is. And that's why I want to encourage you to order your free copy. Just call the number at the bottom of your screen. So let's recap the points we talked about today. We talked about you must persevere in prayer. We have to cry out day and night. God expects us. This life in relationship to the great God is not easy, and it's not fair. Never will be. You must seek God's will and have faith in His answers. By seeking God's will, I mean you have to seek Him, seek God, not just what we want. And then 3, you must accept that God has a greater picture, a much greater picture. And we're just looking at a little piece of it. And we have to be comfortable to know that the great painter knows exactly what he's doing. And we don't. In the difficult times when it seems like God isn't listening, don't give up. And remember God's desire when He told David, seek my face.
Please call for the booklet offered on today's program, Tools for Spiritual Growth. It will help you learn how to pray meaningful prayers to God, how to meditate effectively, how to use tools like fasting and fellowship and your personal Bible study to actively discern God's will for you. Order now. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or write to the address shown on your screen. When you order this study aid, you'll learn what the Scriptures reveal about how you can grow in spiritual strength and build a personal relationship with your Creator. When you order this free study aid, we'll also send you a complimentary 1-year subscription to our Beyond Today magazine. 6 times a year, you'll read about current world events in light of Bible prophecy, as well as practical knowledge to improve your marriage and family. Call today to receive your free booklet, Tools for Spiritual Growth, and your free 1-year subscription to Beyond Today magazine.